In a dark world filled with deceit, one united voice is crying out. Revealing the truth of God's word. It's time to expose the hidden truth and unravel the lies. While we're living in Satan's little season, with Sister Crystal and Brother Phil.
Welcome to Living in Satan's Little Season Show. We're your hosts,
Sister Crystal,
Brother Phil. Topic today, to Earth eschatology. What is it?
Yeah.
We're going over the topic because we've gotten a lot of questions on, and I haven't really done a show exactly expounding what this is that I teach now. And really it has to do with basically all the biblical research I've done.
And it's also, I mean, it's in the Bible, but it's also... There's a hidden, I want to say, I guess, agenda or concept that is sneaking into the church of this, we all go to heaven. And your explanation of the two earths is spot on, instead of assuming that when we all die, we go to heaven as spirit beings.
Well, I just find it to be odd that, you know, I mean, heaven's talked about all over the Bible, but then you look carefully at what all the scriptures talk about, and it doesn't say anything about us going there when we pass away from this life or anything. No, but what it says is there's this new earth that's being created, and we're going to go over the scriptures that really talk about this new earth. Because it's interesting that this new earth is talked about, but then everyone... in all the other biblical models, end times models, just ignore this new earth. It's like either it's something that we live on right now, or it's has nothing to do with the future, and it's just to be ignored. And what I'm saying is no, this is our eternal home. This is our inheritance, and we're going to go over the scriptures that really talk about this.
Well, we all want to look forward to something when we die, and I get it. I get that we all... and look forward to what's after this life. But let's not assume that we're just going to puff into little smoke balls or little, you know, spirit beings floating and flitting away. No, we are going somewhere that God has established and that we will be a part of because of the enduring faith that we exhibited here on earth.
Let me start by just going over just a brief summary of what it is. Because a lot of times, I don't like to make things too complicated for people, because when you get into the complication of all the scriptures that go into all this, it becomes a little bit hard to understand.
Right.
The concept is very simple. When you die, you don't go to heaven or hell. Okay, these are constructs that have been constructed to steer people, I believe, away from what I'm teaching here.
Right.
Okay, this idea of you go to heaven if you're good or you're a righteous person, and you go to hell if you're a bad or a wicked person. No, what the Bible actually teaches, this is what I've discovered through my biblical research, is that when you die, you pass away from this world,
right,
this earth that we live on right now, and you actually go to the new earth that is our eternal home. And that's where our inheritance is going to be at. That is where New Jerusalem is located. That is where all the saints that have died before us have gone.
Right.
And essentially, it's a different realm. And we're gonna do another show on the realms that God's created. Because this is another realm that God has created, this new earth realm. And it's different than the realm that we live on now. We live on old earth, or I shouldn't say old earth. The Bible calls it
First Earth.
Mm-hmm. Which I have dubbed proto-earth, because that's the Greek word,
right,
for first, proto, you know, where we get the word prototype. We're living on the prototype earth, and everyone else who have died before us, they go to the new earth. Now, the new earth is split up into sections. It's not like everyone goes to the same place on new earth.
No.
The righteous get an inheritance in New Jerusalem. And then everybody else goes to a place called either the Lake of Fire, And the Bible calls it a number of different things, but also I believe it's also called a place of outer darkness. There's a number of things, because remember, we know in New Jerusalem, the light of God is on 24/7.
Right.
It's on all the time. As a matter of fact, there's no need for the sun, because the light will be of God is shining in that city 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right. And that's, and of course, the city is enormous. It's about the size of, just to get, just put in perspective, it's the size of like the country of India. That's about how big it is. It's huge. 2/3 the size of the continental United States. It's an enormous city that we need to understand. This is, of course, this is where we get our inheritance. 12 gates on the city, 3 on each side. It's a square city. We get a land inheritance. Okay, this is what the Bible actually teaches. That we, that's why when Jesus says, the meek shall inherit the earth, what do you think that? What do you think he meant when he said that? Right. That was, that's in Matthew chapter 5. One of the first things he actually preaches to the people is that the meek will inherit the land or the earth. So this is, we're going to go over all these scriptures here. Let's go ahead and I'm going to read you the scripture that actually is my biblical proof text on why I believe that this is actually taught in our Bibles.
Right.
And I think it's a scripture that has been overlooked. It's been shoved under the rug, not understood properly. And if you read it the way that is meant to be understood, everything makes sense.
Well, I think also, too, it has to do with terminologies and words and how we perceive them. And there's a word in this passage that we perceive as another way instead of the way that it's stated.
Revelation chapter 21, verse 1.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more.
Here, the Bible clearly states there's these two earths. There's called the new heaven and new earth, which actually three authors of the Bible actually talk about.
Okay.
That's, and we're going to go over some of those scriptures here too. Okay. There's Isaiah is the first one that discusses this. That's in Isaiah chapter 65 and 66. And so he talks about it first. And of course, he's prophesying about this. And of course, and then you have a couple of New Testament writers
right.
that talk about this new heaven and new earth. And that's John here. And then Peter
right.
talks about it in 2 Peter.
Mm-hmm.
They both, all three of those authors, that's why I'm saying it's more than just like, oh, it's just mentioned once in the Bible. No, this new earth is mentioned more than one. And the earth, I haven't really talked about this too much, but earth means land.
Right.
So in other words, it's a new heaven, which means new sky, new whatever, and new land. So it's a whole new realm that's been somehow created here. So there's new land that's been created. And this is why, and then we're going to go over in some other shows, this idea of the prophecies that, oh, the restoration of Israel
mm-hmm.
back into their land. Well, this is what we're talking about here.
Right.
This new land, or new earth, I should say, you know, new land, new earth, same thing, is for the restoration of all Israel, and I believe that's already happened. And see, what people don't realize is, see, they're thinking that, oh, no, that's happening now over there. No, that's all fake.
That's a show.
All this show that's going on over in Israel, in our world here, is all just a complete distraction. To not get us thinking that, no, this Israel that we're talking about here is on new earth. Right. It's not on, and see right here, Revelation 21:1 biblically teaches two earths. And we talked about this, how the word passed away does not mean death destroyed or anything else. It means went away.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it's like
went out of view.
Yeah, went out of view. So, in other words, it's like I passed, oh, it would be like me saying, I passed away from high school into college.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, high school didn't cease to exist. No. It's still there. It's just that now I've moved on to the next stage of my life.
Right.
Which, you know, in this case, I mentioned would be college or something else. This is exactly what it's saying here. So when he says the first heaven, the first earth passed away, in other words, it went by.
He was moving on too.
He had a vision where he was moving beyond mm-hmm. this world.
Right.
Didn't get destroyed. Just he went beyond it.
Right.
To the next one. So this is why where I get the idea of two-earth eschatology, because I believe that the Bible in the end times teaches there are actually two earths. A first earth, which is what we're living on right now, which has wickedness reigning in this place. And then you have a new earth,
right,
which we're going to read about here in a moment, which has righteousness reigning in that place. Now, there's still wickedness on that new earth as well, I believe. But the capital city of that new earth is New Jerusalem.
Right.
And we know who runs that. Okay. That's the righteous running. No one is allowed in to that city unless they are righteous. So the only ones going in and out of that city are the righteous people.
Exactly.
Wicked people that live in outer darkness outside that city, they aren't coming to that city.
You talk about a border wall that's protected.
Well, because God's, remember, his presence is in that city, and he can't be in the presence of wickedness and evil.
Right.
Matter of fact, this is the reason why Adam and life had to leave the Garden of Eden.
Right, Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve had to leave the Garden of Eden because he couldn't be in the presence of sin and rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, he doesn't kick people out of his presence because he's just a mean and heinous God. He cannot be in the presence of wickedness and evil.
Right.
This is part of his character. And this is the reason why we need to understand the concept of God better than anybody else. If we choose to love him and obey him, then we can be in his presence. If we choose to rebel against him, well, he doesn't want anything to do with us. We are cast out now. It's really super easy. If we want to be a part of his plan, then we can be with him. If we don't want to be part of him and his perfect plan for us, then we can just go off on our own and not be in his presence. We miss out on all the benefits of being with God.
All right. Decisions are everything.
Right. Okay. We're going to read a little bit more of Revelation 21, verse 4 through 8. And this talks about this new earth. Okay. See, this is really, what we're going for, folks. What we are trying to achieve in this world is we are working toward, and we're going to be judged in our life here to see what our reward is going to be when we reach New Earth.
Right.
New Jerusalem. Are we going to go to New Jerusalem? Are we going to be a citizen of that city? Or are we going to be cast out at judgment?
Right.
When we pass away from this life, this world, to the next one. That's really what the Bible teaches here. It's super easy to understand this. And all these Bible prophecies will make total sense now that we understand this idea of you move from this world to the next world.
Mm-hmm.
You move from this earth to the next earth. Immediately upon our death of this body, we will be judged and we will be ushered into the new earth. And we're all going to new earth, folks. Even if you're a wicked person, you're going there too. It's just that if you're a wicked person, you aren't going to be in the presence of God. You're going to be cast into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't want any of that stuff. Right. That's where you're going to be. Let's go ahead and read Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 through 8. Go ahead and read that one.
He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.
Okay, let's stop there for a minute, because this is huge. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what it said about when they go from this world to the next one and what it's going to be like?
Right.
See, there's no way this world could be anything like this new earth. I mean, he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. In other words, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. No, in the next life, in the next earth, the new earth, if you're a righteous person, you're not going to have any, if your pain and suffering, this is why I'm trying to explain to everybody, you have to endure to the end of this life.
Right.
If you want to avoid pain and suffering in your next life.
Right. Well, the idea about this passed away, do those things die? Does mourning die? Does crying die? Does pain die? No, it's just, it no longer exists because you've moved on. So it says that all those things have passed away. Well, none of those things really die in and of themselves, but they no longer exist when you're not in proximity to them. You know, you're not having to deal with them on a daily basis because you've moved away from them. And that's kind of the thing is when we move on to this new earth, we'll no longer be in the presence of reminding ourselves what, because we're going to be basically kind of like evolved. Let's just say we've evolved to the next level. You know, people are all in these gaming things and, you know, it's always about going to the next level. Well, the idea is in this life, there is another level. It is the end level, but it's what we're working for to get to. And I think that's the idea is that this life, there are ups and downs and bumps and turns and all these things, but we need to focus and keep reminding ourselves it's all worth it. God has a plan. We can trust him. We can walk in faith. And if we believe that he has it all ready set for us, we can just trust that everything he's allowing us to go through and we're working toward is to be fulfilled when we die.
Okay, go ahead and read verse 5 and continue.
And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true."
Okay, so now we're getting a brand new world. We're not just getting, see, the world we're living in now has been used and abused and, you know, it's getting poisoned and everything else, right?
Corrupted.
We understand that about this world, okay, that we live in now. No. This new world, new earth, it's brand spanking new. Just like in the Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve were set down there in the garden, a brand new world. This is what we're going to get in the next world. It's not a renewed world. It's a new, brand new spanking world, just like it says.
Uncorrupted.
Right. Brand new. Okay, this is why, this is the description of the new earth. We're going to get a new world. Not the old one like we're living in now. This is a very important concept that I haven't really talked about too much. Okay, let's go ahead and move on here and let's go to verse 6.
And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son."
Okay, did you hear what it said at the very end there? See, there's a condition to getting this reward. A very important condition. And this is why I say you must endure to the end of this life to receive the rewards in the next life. And what does he say there in verse 7? He who conquers. We have to conquer this life, folks. We have to overcome this life. Then we'll receive our heritage.
Right.
See, it's what we're this is what we're going for. We're going for our heritage. This is why this is the true gospel message. Right now, you know, people ask me, what's the gospel message? What's the good news? I'm explaining to you the good news. If you endure to the end of this life, you've got a huge reward coming to you. That is so good news. But we have to overcome the obstacles in our path in this life.
Right.
It's not going to be an easy life. We all have to go through obstacles. And so every trial you go through for the sake of good, the gospel message, you have to think to yourself and remember these scriptures. Because our promise is that when we endure to the end of this life, we are going to receive our inheritance or our heritage, as it says in this passage. But you see, we have to endure. We have to overcome. Why do you think the satanic forces are working so hard in this world to try to corrupt everybody and try to make everything so, and try to make everybody evil and whatnot and try to make sin be so good? It's because he's trying to rob us of our heritage.
Right.
This is what the satanic forces are trying to do. They know what the scripture says. They know what's coming to us. They are trying to rob you of your heritage.
Because they have no hope in getting it.
Yeah, they got no hope in getting it. So they're trying to take it from you too.
Exactly. So that's a misery loves company. That's where that kind of concept comes in play.
We have to conquer this world. Mm-hmm. In other words, conquer sin in our lives. Conquer this enemy, these satanic forces that are doing everything they can to try to trick and fool you. That's what this show's really all about, is all these people, all these satanic forces out there are trying to fool you into thinking that sin is so great and to succumb to all that nonsense. When we know all that's going to do is rob you of your inheritance.
Exactly.
Wise up.
Think higher thoughts.
And live on a higher frequency, a higher plane of existence in a spiritual realm.
Right.
In your life. See, that's what made Christ and everybody so great, is that, you know, they were at the high, Christ is literally at the highest frequency possible, at being flesh and blood at when he was around. Okay, that's how he could heal people and do all this amazing thing, because he was living his life at such a high frequency level that he could do all this stuff. When, right. You know, you and I, we have poisoned, burned. The satanic forces have made sure that our frequency is, like, low.
Right.
So that we can't really accomplish any of these things, but we could still overcome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though they're poisoning us, they're trying to do everything they can to lower our frequency level, to lower who we are, mm-hmm. we're still going to overcome.
Right.
And then when we endure to the end of this life, we're going to receive our reward in the next life. This is what really two earth eschatology is really all about. We're going from this earth to new earth, brand spanking new.
Right.
Hasn't been corrupted by sin and all this other stuff like this world has. And this is where we're going. This is what the Bible actually teaches. When I came to this realization and revelation, everything made sense when it comes to all these scriptures. Literally every scripture is like, okay, now I understand how all these scriptures could be fulfilled now. What they're being fulfilled is they're being fulfilled on new earth, essentially. The restoration of Israel, all this other, that's not on this earth, that's on new earth. Okay? This is where people misunderstand all these biblical, and we're going to go over some of these in our show. Mm-hmm. We're going to go over all these and explain, okay, see this scripture right here. All this makes sense if you understand two earth eschatology. If you don't understand two earth eschatology, none of this makes any sense at all. Because the Bible doesn't say one iota about anybody ever going to heaven. No one's going there. Yeah, that's all these people have to do that. And that's the reason why I don't consider myself to be a preterist, because preterists don't believe that we're living on new earth right now. Mm. No, I'm saying, no, this is impossible that we could be living on new earth right now. Because what we already read the descriptions of New Earth, okay, and not only this show, but others. It's paradise. It's actually called paradise, actually, mm-hmm. too. That there's nowhere in this earth that paradise exists. Not in this world, but there is in the next. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going for. And that's why I really, you know, I don't want to call myself a preterist, even though I believe that most of these Bible prophecies have been fulfilled, because if you lump yourself in that, people think, oh, you believe we're living on New Earth. No, I don't. This is where I veer off, and I wish these preterists could understand what I'm trying to teach here. Mm-hmm. I think most of them would be like, yeah, I believe all these things happen. They're right about a lot of these Bible prophecies being fulfilled. But what they're wrong about is then they have to, oh, well, if something doesn't make sense in the Bible, like, there'll be no more sea. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Well, what do they say? Oh, that's a sea of nations. They had to make up some spiritual way that works. Well, no, the new earth, not the one we're on, but the new earth has no sea.
Right.
Okay. That's all it's saying there. Once you understand this, but they have to make, that's why I don't call myself a preterist, because I don't want to fit into that camp, because they try to spiritualize everything that doesn't make sense out of their theology, because they believe we're living on new earth right now, which we're not. Okay. Because the description of New Earth is, you know, no more suffering, no more sorrow, God will wipe away every tear scenario. And that there's nowhere on Earth that you could see that. At least this Earth. New Earth, yeah, that's what it's going to be there. But not on this one.
Well, the thought, we kind of go on here a little, but the idea that evil on this world doesn't want to die. They want to live longer, extend their life, because I think they know there's something coming after this life that they don't want to have to get to.
Yeah, they're trying to avoid their judgment day.
Right.
Yeah, that's why everybody's all fixated on all these life extension technologies and stuff like that. They know their judgment day's coming.
Exactly.
Upon their death. So what are they trying to do? That's why they're fixated on trying to get eternal life here in this world. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, no need for aging problems. You know, aging is part of life. We all understand that.
Right.
And when we overcome this life.
Right.
And we age, and eventually we're going to die. No one's going to live forever.
Well, and that's it.
We're going to, yeah.
Right. We don't need to fear death, because we all have an expiration date. We were born with one.
We're all going to, no one's going to be, this world wasn't designed for us to live forever because of the fall. But the next world at the resurrection is. Exactly. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to go from this world, and then we're going to be resurrected an immortal body. If you're a righteous person, you get immortality. Mm-hmm. In the next world, and guess what? You'll be living in with no more crying, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. No, you, because you're going to be in New Jerusalem at that
right.
point. That's your inheritance that's trying to be robbed of you right now by the satanic forces.
Right.
All around us.
But if we read verse 8, these are the exceptions. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
Okay, so you see, they're going to a different place than what we're going to, which mm-hmm. is New Jerusalem. We're going to New Jerusalem, folks. That's our inheritance. It's those people that are wicked people. And see, this is, I could go over some of these sins that the satanic forces are trying to corrupt us all with, especially when it comes to sexual immorality.
Yes.
That's a huge one that we see in our culture and society today. Oh, it's no big deal to shack up and live together before you get married. No, they're trying to make sin to be good. And then they're not, you're not reading the scripture here that says, no, all that stuff's going to throw you into the lake of fire.
Right.
We don't want to go there. We don't want to go to the second death. We already had to endure one death in this life. We don't want to endure a second one. See, the only way to avoid the second death, we're all going to have to go through the first death. You know, we're all going to die physically. But we don't have to go through the second death. This is our choice to overcome in this life. You just have to look to see what the wicked, what the agenda of these satanic forces are doing. They're pushing all this sin and nonsense on the culture and society now, thinking this is good. Right. When we know all it's going to do is rob you of your inheritance. What do you think of that? Somebody, mm-hmm. the satanic forces are trying to rob you. This is what I'm trying to get through to people's understanding and minds. They're trying to steal from you your rightful inheritance.
Well, yes, they are. Persuade you to make a bad decision to go along with their plan, but you don't have to. We can all decide a better way. And that's living godly. But see, I do think they're trying to persuade. I don't think they are trying to rob in an essence, but you have to give permission or allow that by choosing to do that. They can't steal from you just for the sake of stealing because you left it out. No, they have to almost convince you that this lifestyle is what is better for you than the lifestyle that God has for you. And so, in essence, it's a choice, just like we all have, to choose God or to not choose God. And so, yeah, they are robbing them of the joy they'll have. But those people who choose to be sexually immoral or idolaters or any of that, they choose that. And it's a choice that they don't have to make. They could choose the other. But it's wherever they are in their life and mentally and spiritually. If, you know, there are people that are on death row that were murderers that have repented from their crimes and stuff. Does that mean God's not going to hold them accountable for what they did here? Or are they going to have that forgiveness? The people who come to know the Lord after, you know, bad situations and circumstances of living a sexually immoral lifestyle, and they knew it was wrong, and then they changed and repented. You know, I think that's the thing is, you know, if you're in that state of mind when you die, there might be that decision, that consequence waiting for you. But if you repent from any of these things, you will not be marked as one of these people because you've since denounced that behavior and you no longer are living that way.
Sin will cause you to lose your inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an example in the Bible that is a perfect example. The story of Jacob and Esau.
Mm.
Okay? Because that's what Esau was a man of the flesh, and that caused his losing of his birthright that he had. All he had to do is just endure to the end of his life and he would have been fine and had his birthright. But what did he do? No, his flesh had gotten in the way.
Mm-hmm.
He succumbed to giving up his birthright. This is what the satanic forces are trying to do to us. They're trying to get you to lose that and get rid of that and instead of overcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what I'm going to show you is, we're going to go over the place in the Bible that talk about that we, the righteous people, are going to inherit the earth. Okay. And we're going to start here in Psalm chapter 37, verse 9. Go ahead and read that one.
For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land.
Okay. The inherit the land is also inherit the earth. Land mm-hmm. and earth are the same thing. Okay. Who are we? It's evildoers are going to be cut off. This is exactly the description of what's going to happen in Revelation here that we just read. Mm-hmm. They were all cut off from the land. They get no land inheritance. They're in outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, lake of fire. All the bad things that we don't want, second death, that's what they get.
Right.
That's their inheritance now. Why? Because they chose it.
Right.
Because they didn't want to follow God's ways, his will. So what did they get? They got what they wanted. They got nothing. They squandered everything. Okay. And this is what it says. Evildoers will be cut off. That's what that means. They won't get that. They won't get their inheritance. Only the righteous are going to get that inheritance. That's why I say we have to live holy and godly lives to overcome and get to that inheritance. That's the good news, folks.
Right.
But we've got to overcome and endure the hardships. And this is what my show is really all about. Yeah, we got to say no to sin. Yeah, we've got to get a hold of our flesh. And we got to do all that stuff. This is important. This world is so tempting. But if you get a hold of your flesh, live by your spirit, you'll overcome the obstacles that are going to be in your path. Go ahead and read Psalm chapter 37, verse 11 there.
But the meek shall inherit the land, earth, and delight themselves in abundant peace.
That is what Jesus actually quoted when he talked about the Beatitudes in mm-hmm. Matthew chapter 5. The meek shall inherit the earth. He quoted from what scripture? On Psalm chapter 37.
Right.
See, but we know in this world, in this earth, if you're meek, you don't inherit nothing. Isn't that right? We don't inherit a single thing in this world. Mm. Why is that? Because, you know, if you're meek, you just get trampled on.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way this world does it. If you're a meek person, if you're following the teachings taught by God, no, all you do is get ridiculed and trampled on. And that's what the satanic forces want. They give their inheritance to people on this world mm-hmm. because that's all they got.
Exactly.
They don't have any hope in the next world.
Nothing to look forward to.
They got no inheritance in the next world. Yeah. What we're looking for is we don't care about the inheritance in this world, this earth. We're looking for the inheritance in the new earth that is going to be great. It's going to be mm-hmm. amazing. Okay, let's go ahead and read Psalm chapter 37. A lot of these are in Psalm 37. Just go ahead and read Psalm 37, the whole chapter sometime. Mm-hmm. And you'll read all these things and be like, oh man, this is awesome. Yeah. But go ahead and read that one, Psalm 37, verses 21 and 22.
The wicked borrows, but does not pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off.
So he says really the same thing again. Mm-hmm. But did you hear what it said here about, and this is a reason why it's so much different. See, what God is going to give you in the next life is how you lived in this life. Mm. If you're living like the wicked are in this life, what they do, they borrow, they take and they don't give back. Can you imagine? Everybody living their life where they borrow, they take, and they never give back to anybody. Mm. Can you imagine a society like that? Because that's essentially what you're going to be living in the next life if you don't change your ways and live for God in this life.
Right.
Because remember, New Jerusalem, what's it about? Generosity and giving.
Mm-hmm.
You're generous and giving. See, It's a completely opposite scenario because that's what God's people do.
Right.
That's why everyone will be without want because everyone's generous and gives of their freely of their time and energies and everything else. They just give not expecting anything in return. But if you're a wicked person, that's not the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
This is why it's all about changing your heart and mind to God's way. And then you'll reap the benefits of generosity, giving, all that. Because you'll give and then people will give to you and it everything works out.
Right.
Everyone is full of joy and happiness. That's the reason why this world is so full of sin and depravity is because no one's giving anymore to mm-hmm. each other freely without expecting anything in return.
Right.
Why is that? It's because that's the way our system's set up. We have to overcome. And this is what we're talking about here. Because we must be vigilant. We must be manly. We must be fortified, doing everything out of love. Not only because it's biblical.
Because it glorifies God.
Join or contact us at satanslowseason.org. This is a non-copyrighted Living in Satan's Low Season production.